Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, with sorrow, we announce the passing out of this life, Mrs. Henrietta Scholten, at the age of 78 years. We read in God's word in 1 Peter 1, verse 24 and 25, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever."
Congregation, we will sing together from Psalter 104, the 3rd, 4th, 6th, and 9th, and 9th verse. Make me, O Lord, to know my end. Teach me the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am, and turn from pride and sinful ways. Psalter 104, stanza 3, 4, 6, and 9. Scripture reading for this morning, you can find in the book Leviticus, the 16th chapter. We will read the first 19 verses, and then from verse 29 to the end of the chapter. So Leviticus 16, the first 19 verses, and then from 29 through the end of the chapter. But before we will read the holy law of God, God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We mentioned to you Leviticus chapter 16, starting at verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered before the Lord and died. And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not, for I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place, with a young bullock for a sin offering, and a ram for a burnt offering. He shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and shall be girded with a linen girdle, and with the linen mitre shall he be attired. These are holy garments, therefore shall he wash his flesh in water, and so put them on. And he shall take of the congregation of the children of Israel 2 kids of the goats for a sin offering, and 1 ram for a burnt offering. And Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself and for his house. And he shall take the 2 goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the 2 goats, 1 lot for the Lord, and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell, and offer him for a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord, to make an atonement with him, and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. And Aaron shall bring the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and shall make an atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself. And he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense beaten small, and bring it within the veil. And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, that he die not. And he shall take of the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward. And before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle of the blood with his finger seven times. Then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering, that is for the people, and bring his blood within the veil, and do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat and upon and before the mercy seat. And he shall make an atonement for the holy place, because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because of their transgressions in all their sins. And so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of their uncleanness. And there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goeth in to make an atonement in the holy place, until he come out and have made an atonement for himself and for his household and for all the congregation of Israel. And he shall go out unto the altar that is before the Lord and make an atonement for it, and shall take of the blood of the bullock and of the blood of the goat and put it upon the horns of the altar round about. And he shall sprinkle of the blood upon it with his finger seven times, and cleanse it, and hallow it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. Verse 29. And this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, ye shall afflict your souls, and do no work at all, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger that sojourneth among you. For on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you, to cleanse you, that ye may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. It shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls by a statute forever. And the priest, whom he shall anoint, and whom he shall consecrate to minister in the priest's office in his father's stead, shall make the atonement, and shall put on the linen clothes, even the holy garments. And he shall make an atonement for the holy sanctuary, and he shall make an atonement for the tabernacle of the congregation and for the altar. And he shall make an atonement for the priests and for all the people of the congregation. And this shall be an everlasting statute unto you, to make an atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins once a year. And he did as the Lord commanded Moses thus far.
Congregation wish to especially remember the mourning Schulten family this morning in prayer. Let us seek the Lord's countenance and ask for his blessing and presence. Let us pray together. Almighty, eternal, only true Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, thou who hast created all things, thou who also hast made the crown jewel of creation, man, in thy image and knowledge, righteousness and holiness, and thou hast placed him in that special place in the garden, and have given unto him that command to not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt die. And Lord, we in our covenant head Adam have rebelled against thee. We have sinned. And Lord, the wages of sin is death. And now we also, again, in this past week, have heard the consequences of our sin, that a mourning family is among us, a dear wife, a dear mother, grandmother, great-grandmother, and a sister has passed away. Thou hast taken her out of this life, and she had to stand before thee. Lord, remember this entire family. Remember him who is now a widower. Lord, wilt thou fill that empty place with thyself, but also for the children and the grandchildren. Comfort them, Lord, with thy precious word. Comfort them with that only comfort. Lord, we beg, look upon them in mercy and sanctify this calling to each of their hearts, to our hearts. Thou art speaking to all of us that the wages of sin is death, that there's appointed time to die and stand before thee, and we need to be prepared. Lord, wilt thou prepare us all for that day? Teach us this morning through thy word that we need atonement, and teach us of that only way of atonement through that great high priest who himself was the Lamb of God and who gave his blood. And Lord, in this same week and on this same day also a baby was born, a healthy baby. Lord, give thankfulness to the parents. And Lord, remember then this child. We read in thy word there was a time to be born and a time to die. And Lord, that is for each of us. And that time is short compared to eternity. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then remember us all. Give thy grace in the hearts. Work mightily, irresistibly, and take away hearts of stone and give hearts of flesh. Give ears to hear thy voice. Thou art speaking to us. Prepare to meet thy God. And Lord, wilt thou prepare us? Because by nature we have left thee never to return. And we have our backs towards thee. And we go our own way. We're dead in sins and trespasses. We hear thy word. We hear the need to be born again. We hear the need to repent and to believe. And that we need atonement. But Lord, wilt thou bring those truths with power, with the irresistible power of the Holy Spirit into our hearts, that there comes an urgency, that we have no rest until we find that only rest that is in thee through thy Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we beg thee, come among us then today, and in all the sorrow and all the grief, that thou would give that only comfort, that thou would give that true joy that we cannot find in ourselves, but that is only in thee, in a triune God, in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Lord, remember then in thy mercy all the sick and afflicted, all those who have cares and needs for their bodies, for their minds. Help and bless the means that may be used. Lord, we pray and ask thee also especially remember a dear mother, Mrs. Stubby, who we hear is, the Lord willing, going to be taken to Bethany Care Home for palliative care. Remember her, Lord, for body, but especially for her soul. Lord, remember the family. Lord, we ask thee that thou would yet look upon her in mercy. Thou knowest how it is for her never-dying soul. Lord, we beg and pray thee that thou would then remember the whole congregation. And Lord, as we have gathered in thy house to hear thy word, may it be that hearts were prepared, that hearts were broken up by thy law, that guilty sinners have come with a longing, with a hunger, with a thirst for the living God. And Lord, thou hast promised in thy word that thou wilt pour water upon the thirsty and upon the dry ground. May it be so by thy mercy, by thy grace among us, that there may be many as guilty, lost sinners longing for a way back to thee, seeking, and wilt thou teach them. Lord, remember those who are yet dead in sins and trespasses. Oh, have mercy upon them and awaken them. Give them life and that they may have that urgency, life, eternal life. I must die, and I'm sin. I'm one mass of sin, and how can I stand before God? O Lord, wilt thou then draw with those cords of love, give life, and draw to thyself? And remember thy dear people who have seen something of a hope and a precious Savior given, that he has come in the flesh, but they feel such a distance. He has conquered their hearts, and yet they feel such a distance with an almighty God who has poured love in their hearts, and they long to have reconciliation. Oh, wilt thou teach them also of that precious Savior, of that him who is a prophet, a king, but also a priest, who has given everything, who has given his body, who has given his life, who has given his blood to make reconciliation. Oh, wilt thou draw them nigh by the blood of the Lamb, and that they may see in themselves they have nothing. Oh, Lord, we're so foolish. By nature, we don't seek it at all. And after grace, we try to find so many resting places. Oh, wilt thou drive out then unto that only place of rest, under that precious place, under the wings of him who suffered and died, and that we may seek him and to know him and him crucified. Lord, we beg thee then for the application of the Holy Spirit. Help to listen. Take away all the distraction. Give ears to hear. Open ears. Give enlightened minds to the truth of who we are, of who thou art, but also of that way of salvation, and give hearts with thy grace that are brought to true repentance, godly sorrow, but also true faith in thee and in thy Son. Lord, it's thy work. Unto whom else can we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life, and we beg thee, Lord, pass us not by. Thou could righteously do so because of all our sins, because of all our iniquities. But look upon us through him in whom thou art well pleased, through thy dear Son who has that righteousness and that blood that satisfied thy justice. Lord, we pray then that thou would gather with us as thou hast promised in thy word, where two or three are gathered together in thy name, that thou would be in their midst. Lord, be in our midst. Help the children to listen, to understand, the teenagers, the adults, the older ones, the whole congregation. Give a mouth to preach. Lord, give a heart, give an unction of the Holy Spirit. Take away all the distractions, all the hindrances, and that we may preach, thus saith the Lord, and that we may listen, that it's a message from the Almighty God. Lord, we beg and pray thee that thou would bless thy word throughout the whole world, that thy kingdom may come in the established congregations, but also on the mission field among Jew and Gentile. Lord, remember that place also in Bolivia that thou hast given as a denomination with the responsibility to bring thy word there. Lord, bless it. Bless thy servants there, elders, deacons. Remember Pastor Marco, the church workers, and their families. Lord, give them that they may be taught by thee, and that thy word may be that only foundation to guide and lead that people. Help them, Lord, and bless thy word richly to the conversion of many Bolivians, and that the precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he may become so necessary, so suitable and precious to them, but also unto us. Lord, help all thy servants. Give all that is needed, and may we acknowledge thee also, Lord, that in this past week, that thou hast gladdened a congregation in Alberta Nobleford, that thou hast inclined the heart of one of thy servants to accept the call and to come and to be an ambassador. Lord, give broken and thankful hearts, and may he be a blessing to that congregation and for the whole denomination. Open the way and bring him at thy time to be installed in that congregation. Lord, we ask thee much. We deserve nothing because we're sinful. But we beg thee, Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy honor, for thy glory. Give a blessing on thy word. Oh, may there be crumbs for poor little dogs this morning through thy precious word, that they may meet with thee through thy Son by the application of the Holy Spirit, that thou would commune with them through him, through that way of atonement, that they may have a little taste of thy mercy, of thy grace, of thy love, Lord. We beg, we're unworthy, Lord, but we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us sing from Psalter 47, the first five stanzas. 47, 1 through 5. My God, I cry to thee. O why hast thou forsaken me? Afar from me, thou dost not heed. Though day and night for help I plead. 47, the first five stanzas, and the collections for today is the first for the church and the second for the Emeritus Fund. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Dear congregation, the Lord speaks what we read in Exodus 25, verse 22. And there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, and from between the two cherubims which are upon the ark of the testimony. God says he will meet. What does that mean? That means he will come together. He will meet. And he speaks, I will commune. He will not only meet, but he will also speak. He will speak to someone. He will have communion. Meet and have communion. Who? The Almighty, infinite, holy, and just God. The Lord God of heaven and of earth. He will meet and commune with a sinner, because that's all he can meet and commune with upon this earth. We're all sinners. But where? That's such a wonder. But where? Above the mercy seat. I will meet them and commune with them above the mercy seat. Why above the mercy seat? Why? Why there? Because that mercy seat is that place where blood was sprinkled on. On that mercy seat is a place where there is atonement. Atonement for wretched sinners. And so I want to begin with a few personal questions this morning. Are there a people here this morning who came with a longing to meet God? Is there a people here who came this morning to long to have a little sweet communion with the Lord? Or did you come out of custom, or superstition, or custom? Why did you come? Are there guilty sinners here this morning searching for a way back to a holy and just God? And you can't find the way. It's all blocked up. And every way you turn in yourself and this way, you can't find a way. Are there thirsty ones, guilty ones, lost ones, longing to be reconciled with God? A way to be right and just with God. What's the way? It's only through the mediator. Only through the Lord Jesus Christ. And are there those who have tasted a little something of a hope? Of a hope in another, in one who came to this world to seek and to save sinners. What is eternal life, congregation? Eternal life is to know God and Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ said this in his high priestly prayer in John 17, verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And how? How can a sinner know the only mediator? What did Reverend Hellenbrook say in that beautiful little book? He said, he mentioned five ways. And one of those ways is through him, through his offices. To know the mediator through his offices. And what are the three offices of the mediator, Jesus Christ? He's a prophet, he's a priest, and a king. Or as we read in the Heidelberg Catechism, our only chief prophet, and our only high priest, and our only eternal king. My friend, do you know a little something of God? May I ask you, has he become real in your life? Have you become guilty before a holy and just God? Because of your sins, because of who you are, because of what you have done, and because of who you yet remain to be? And do you long for a way back to God? To the very God that you have offended, that you stand guilty before, and you hear, but he will by no means clear the guilty? And have you been revealed to you through the word, by the power of the Holy Spirit, not only of your sin, and you need to learn more and more, but also of who he is in all his attributes, but also something of that precious mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you decreasing in self, and is he decreasing? You becoming more sinful, and he becoming more necessary, more suitable, and more precious? Can you say with the bride, I am black, but he is comely? Have you seen a little something of his beauty? Of his beauty? God's people have a complete Savior. They have a complete Savior, and yet they grow in the grace and in the knowledge of self, but also of the only Savior, Jesus Christ. That King has conquered their heart, and he teaches them as a prophet, but they also need him. They need him as that priest, as that one to stand as that mediator, to be the substitute and the surety between them and the holy gods. And do you have a little hope? A little hope on the Savior? But do you still feel such a distance? Such a distance with such a holy God, with such a polluted sinner? And you wonder, how can that distance be taken away? Remember, Christian, he went through the gate. He went through the gate. That's a picture of faith, true saving faith in that Savior going through the gate. And he was still walking. Remember, children, what did he have on his back? He had a burden of sin, and he still had that on his back. When was that, where was that burden taken away? That was at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you still walking with a burden of sin, longing, like Christian, pictured in Pilgrim's Progress, to be taken away, to have reconciliation with God's? The Lord needs to lead his people. He renews them. He needs to strip them. And he needs to lead them, and he draws them to that precious mediator in all his offices. And they grow in the grace and the knowledge of that complete Savior. And they need to learn. They need him not only as one to teach them, to guide them, to conquer them, but to be that priest. They need to learn that everything that they have is absolutely insufficient for atonement. What a pain to lose everything. But what a good place to be, that I just have nothing. Because that makes room for one thing, and for the atonement, for the blood, standing before a holy, just, infinite God, and you are just ungodly, lost, rags, bankrupt, nothing. What lessons the Holy Spirit needs to teach sinners so they come to long and to hear what God says, and there I will meet thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims which are upon the ark of the testimony. Where can he meet you? Where can he have communion with you, my dear friend? It's only by the mercy seat. It's only by the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Israelites were taught this rich instruction of the gospel through Leviticus 16 on the Day of Atonement. And so with the Lord's help, we will consider this history, and not all the points, because there's many, congregation. And I'd like to read now for our text for this morning, Leviticus 16, verse 30. Leviticus 16, verse 30. For on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. So far from God's word. The theme is the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement. Three thoughts. First, the need of atonement. We read in verse 30, the first part, for on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you to cleanse you. So this implies they have a need, and you have a need. Atonement. Second, the means of atonement. How is atonement made? Well, we read in this chapter, we read of a high priest, we read of a bullock, we read of a goat, we read of blood, we read of sacrifices. It all points to one thing. The means of atonement is only in Jesus Christ. And what's the purpose of atonement? That's our third thought. The purpose. That ye may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. And so, the theme, the Day of Atonement, the need of atonement, the means of atonement, and the purpose of atonement. Dear congregation, Leviticus is the third book of Moses. And the Jews called the book Leviticus, they called it the Lord called. And he called. Why did they do that? That's because the book begins, Leviticus 1 verse 1, and the Lord called unto Moses. And our chapter, Leviticus 16 verse 1, also begins, and the Lord spake unto Moses. The word call means to commune. It means to speak. It means to preach. So who is calling? Who is speaking? Who is preaching to the Israelites and to us this morning through his word? The Almighty God, Jehovah. So what does this imply? That Moses says to them, thus saith the Lord. And this morning I must also say, thus saith the Lord. I must proclaim his word, thus saith the Lord. And you must listen, that it's a word from God. So God, the Almighty Jehovah, that covenant, faithful, keeping Jehovah, he's speaking. He's preaching from out of the tabernacle. Before he spoke from Mount Sinai, but now he's speaking from out of the tabernacle. And we know in Genesis, then God created everything, all things in man. But then in Genesis, we hear and read of the rebellion of man. And since that very moment, since that moment of man's rebellion, there is the question, how can sinful, polluted, wretched, guilty man have fellowship with an infinite, holy, and just God? Is that your question this morning? Is that a question in your soul? How? How? That's the message. A question. In Exodus, the message is that God redeems a people out of bondage. And then we come to the book of Leviticus, and that message is how God will clean, how he will atone for a defiled and polluted people, that he can meet with them and have communion with them. So Leviticus explains the essential, profound need of atonement. You need atonement, my friend. We all need atonement, no matter who you are. We all need atonement. You need to be cleansed, children. You need to be washed from all your sins. Dear family, mourning ones, you need to be cleansed. You need atonement. And I pray that by the word of God, there's the application of the Holy Spirit, that there comes a need to have atonement, but also that you begin to seek it, and that those seekers become finders and can rejoice in that only way of atonement. Atonement is absolutely necessary. But then, where should we begin this morning? For whom is atonement necessary? Where should we begin? With who should we begin? Should we begin with man? No. We need to begin with someone else. We need to begin with the Almighty, Holy, only true Lord God of heaven and of earth. You say, does he need atonement? He's infinite pure. He's not sinful. He doesn't need atonement. And yet we need to begin with him. We need to begin with an Almighty God. Why? Leviticus begins with Jehovah. He's the one who initiated. He initiated all those sacrifices. And he initiated in Leviticus 16 atonement. It's necessary for the Almighty God. Why? Not because he is impure. Not because he has any sin. He is infinite, holy, and pure. But why then? Why do we need to begin with Jehovah this morning when we speak about the necessity of atonement? Atonement has two parts. God is infinite, holy, and just, and he cannot dwell among a polluted people. So that's one side, and there's a polluted people, and God cannot meet with them and commune with them without atonement. God was dwelling among the Israelites, and they're a polluted people, and he can only dwell with them in the tabernacle with his presence if there's atonement. But there's another question. There's another question which already began in eternity. And God, in his infinite wisdom and mercy and grace, he who is just thought of a way that he could remain just and justify ungodly sinners. He already saw fallen man. And he already had chosen a people to make them objects of his love. But he sees them absolutely polluted, defiled, filthy, wretched, absolutely nothing in them. And how? How can he ever have them, which he longs to have around his throne, to praise, to glorify him? How? There needs to be atonement. There needs to be a payment. Why? Because the Almighty Jehovah, he has a desire to bring among him in that eternity around his throne, to be able to rejoice over them, to be able to sing over them, to be able to rest in them. What wonders. You say, is that really true? That Almighty, infinite, holy God, he will rejoice over sinners? He will sing over them? Yes, open your Bible to Zephaniah 3, verse 17. And it's in the Minor Prophets at the end of the Old Testament. And when we read there what the Lord himself says, we begin with Jehovah. Because atonement begins with Jehovah. And it comes out of Jehovah. And is for his name. Zephaniah 3, verse 17. The Lord, thy God, is in the midst of thee, is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. That's the Almighty God. That's his desire, to rest in his love, to rest in his Zion, to rest in his people, to sing over them, to rejoice over them. But they're polluted. They need atonement. So begins. Atonement is necessary first for that separation to be taken away, that those arms can be opened that are closed because of sin. Do you long for those arms to be opened for you personally? But who spoke about atonement? Who spoke about atonement, the necessity of atonement when he was upon the earth? The Lord Jesus Christ, the mediator of the covenant. The mediator of the covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, put all the requirements upon him. No, he didn't put it on man anymore. There's no requirements of man. They're lost. There's no hope. Broken covenant works. But it was all the conditions, all the requirements were placed upon him. And he came. He came to do the will of his Father. He came to make atonement. He came. And he knew that. He steadfastly went with one way. Where? To Jerusalem, to the cross. He couldn't rest until he could say, it is finished. It was his heart, his longing, his love for the glory and the honor of his Father. And to save absolute wretched sinners. That they could meet with him. That he could have commune with him. What a wonder. I will meet. I will have communion with thee above the mercy seat. And he said, Jesus Christ said, I must be about my Father's business. And his Father's business was saving lost sinners. The Son of Man must be lifted up. He needed to go to that cross. And he said, for the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected and be slain. He said, I must. He knew the necessity of atonement. For the Son of Man must be delivered and be crucified. Be delivered into sinful hands and be slain and crucified. And he did this for the glory of his Father. Remember his prayer, high priestly prayer? John 17 verse 1. The hour has come that thou would be glorified for the glory of his Father. And why else? What do we read in that prayer? And further in verse 21, that they may be one in us. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and those wretched sinners may be brought and maybe be one, that they may meet, and that they may have communion for a never-ending eternity. So the necessity of atonement begins in eternity. It begins in Jehovah. It comes out of his heart and seen by his Son that he gave, and his Son spoke about it, that necessity. It's all for the glory of his name and for the salvation of absolutely wretched, unworthy sinners. Atonement necessary for Jehovah, for the Lord Jesus Christ, but also for those Israelites. Those Israelites. Leviticus 16 closes the first part of that book. Of that book of all the sacrifices. Of all that way to be made pure and clean. And many sacrifices were voluntarily. But others were required. And the Day of Atonement was required by Jehovah. The Israelites were covenant people. We are similar. God has placed us in his goodness and providence under the administration of the covenant of grace. What great blessings. Not enough, just like the Israelites. And yet, so blessed, but so polluted. Because they were fallen sons of Adam. You and I are. Israel had their own sins. We have our own actual sins. Read the law of God. We heard it again. Sinful number one, sinful number two. The whole commandments. You're sinful. You're guilty. You're polluted. We were made with one purpose, to serve the Lord and to love him with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our strength. And by nature, there is absolutely no love. No love for God. No need for that precious Savior. No love for him. No love for our neighbor. And after grace, we're still prone to all sin and evil. So we're all polluted. We need atonement. And yet the Israelites, they had a whole list of sacrifices. Sin offering. Different offerings. An offering of ignorance. Trespass offering. Burnt offering. Consecration offering. Purification offering. A whole list of offerings. And at the end of them, many times we read the following words. And the priest shall make atonement for him as concerning his sin, and it shall be forgiven him. And yet, we come to Leviticus 16. God instituted a day of atonement. All those sacrifices, and yet a day of atonement. What's the lesson? What is God teaching the Israelites? What is the Lord teaching us? His infinite holiness. It's infinite purity. They need atonement. Sinners, you need atonement. Israel, sinner here in Cortland, you need atonement. You must be cleansed. You must be washed. You must be forgiven. All your sins must be atoned with, or you cannot die and meet that holy God in peace. He's teaching that all the precise followings of all those sacrifices, and yet they were a polluted people. Because did they know the extent of all their sins? Did they confess all their sins? There were so many sins among the Israelites that they didn't even know. But God saw it. It was before God. And that's for you and me too. We may confess sin, and God, by the work of the Holy Spirit, brings sinners to true repentance before him, brokenhearted, lost, guilty, and they begin to confess their sin. But do we see it all? May I say it this way? Thankfully, the Lord doesn't just show us all, because how could we live? He shows a little here and more and more. And yet we have so many sins, and we all need to search our own hearts by the mirror of the law of God. My friend, we need atonement. We need atonement. Because without atonement, it was impossible for that holy, just God to dwell in the holy of holies among that people. And it was impossible for the Israelites to meet him and to have communion with him. It was from God's side and from their side. But there's one who stood in the middle, the mediator, the high priest. Therefore the Lord, he himself, he appointed a day of atonement for his name. For his name and for wretched sinners. You need atonement. You need atonement. Do you know this? Or do you just repeat it? We're taught many things, right? And we can just repeat it. We can say, I'm a sinner. We can say, I know the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior. We can say, I know I need atonement. But do you know it? Do you truly, really know it? The Israelites were taught the fact. And we have been taught the facts. But did they really need it in their soul, those Israelites? Did they rejoice on that day? There's a way of atonement. Did you come this morning longing for a way of atonement with a holy and just God, that you're a lost sinner with everything you have and everything you've experienced? I'm still just lost. I want to feel those arms of the Almighty God. I want reconciliation. I want a little crumb. I want some mercy. I want some peace in my soul. But I can't find it. Yes, I know that Savior. I've seen a little something of him. But there's still such a distance with my soul and with the Almighty God. Do you know what the poet said? Not the labors of my hands can fulfill the law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Is that your heart? Is that your life? Or are you still looking inside? Are you still looking? Resting place here, resting place. May the Lord drive it out of all our resting places, that we may say this in truth, and that we have a need to be atoned for, and that we pray and cry as the poet in Psalm 51 verse 2. Wash me thoroughly from all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Do you understand this? Is this your heart? Is this your soul desire? That's the soul and desire of God's poor, needy, wretched, beloved people. Let's sing about it. Psalter 142, stanzas 1 and 2. God be merciful to me. On thy grace I rest my plea. Plenteous in compassion thou, blot out my transgressions now. Wash me, make me pure within. Cleanse, oh cleanse me from my sin. And what follows? 142, stanzas 1 and 2. Day of Atonement. We heard a little something of the need of atonement. Do you have a need? Is there a question in your heart, in your soul? Is there a way of atonement, a way of cleansing, a way of forgiveness, a way of reconciliation with an almighty God that I've sinned against? Is there a way? Yes. Did Moses have to ask for a way? No, he didn't. God provided. God instituted a Day of Atonement. Man can't provide nothing. All we can present is sin and nothing more. What a painful lesson. It's impossible with man. Everything is absolutely insufficient. Is that you this morning? Impossible, insufficient. I'm wretched, I'm sinful, and I need atonement. But how? What's the means? What's the way? And God requires atonement. But what God requires, He provides. He provides. That's the gospel. That's the precious gospel of free and sovereign grace. And so the Lord instructs Moses. He instructs him with exact, precise details of how. Of how one can stand in the holies of holies before His presence, and that He can meet with them, and that He can commune with them, and that way of atonement. God, Jehovah, He provides the means, the way of atonement. What is the means? What is the way of atonement? What is the way for Israel to be cleansed? What is the way for you, for wretched sinners today, to be cleansed? God gave exact details of a way of atonement. Who? Who can make atonement? Who did He appoint? He appointed the priest. No, not just a priest, but it was the high priest. We read in verse 32. And the priest whom He shall anoint, and whom He shall consecrate to minister in the priest's office in his father's stead, shall make the atonement. So Aaron, as we read in earlier in the chapter, he's the high priest. He is the one. He is the one to represent all that people. And what did the high priest need to do? We read in verse 3, first, thus shall Aaron come into the holy place with a young bullock for a sin offering and a ram for the burnt offering. So he needs two sacrifices. So that is how atonement will be made. But now the rest of the chapter, it tells all the precise, exact details that Aaron wouldn't die in his presence and that there would be atonement. The high priest represented those people. He needed to do exactly what the Lord required him. And now we'll go through some details and then make an application. And we will only focus on the high priest. On the high priest this morning. Verse 4, he had to wash himself. Speaks of unclean, and he had to put holy garments on, linen garments. And then in verse 6, we read that the high priest had to offer a bullock for a sin offering for himself and for his family. The high priest Aaron was filthy. He had to be washed, he had to be cleansed, sanctified, and he had to be forgiven all his sin, pointing through that blood. And then, verse 12 and 13, the high priest entered the Holy of Holies. Children, two parts in the tabernacle, right? The holy place and the Holy of Holies. And in the Holies of Holies was the ark and cherubims and a mercy seat above that ark. And God dwelt in that place with His presence. The kabod, the glory of God was in that holy place. And the high priest had to go into the holy place. Imagine being the high priest and having to go into that holy of holies, into the presence of the glory of God. Oh, he must have trembled. How? Sinners tremble to even think, to stand in the presence of a holy, infinite God who sees all our sin. But the high priest had to go. But God provided. How? He had to go with the bullock's blood. He had to go with incense. And he had to go with burning coals from the altar of burnt offering. Exactly come into the presence with those things. What God has provided. And then the high priest entered for himself and for his family with an incense, with those coals, with a burnt offering. And then he sprinkled that mercy seat. He sprinkled it 7 times with that blood. And then he went out again. And remember, there's 2 other goats? Then he had to slay that one goat. We read in verse 7 and 8 that there was a voting between those 2 goats presented to the Lord. And the one had to be killed. And then that high priest again, with the blood from the bullock and the blood from that one goat, he again had to enter into that holy of holies. And he again had to have that blood of the bullock and the goat. And he had to sprinkle the mercy seat 7 times. Exactly. He couldn't do it 5 times. He couldn't do it 6 times. He was not allowed to do it 8 times. He had to have the blood that was provided precisely, exactly to the requirements of the Almighty Holy God. Because otherwise, no atonement. Because otherwise, that high priest would die. Would die. He had to follow exactly. Exactly. Otherwise, he would die, as we read in verse 1 and 2, as Aaron's sons. Why so exact, precise? All the details. Why? Because God is teaching them, you need to do it the way I require. There's only one way that my justice can be satisfied. There's only one way of atonement. And through the fulfillment of that atonement that the high priest would make, there would be atonement. And now imagine standing, because all the Israelites, you could imagine probably 1 million or more people around that tabernacle. They were all called to come on the Day of Atonement. They had a time to prepare, and they come. And then they see the high priest. He went in, he came out, and now he's going in. Is there atonement? Is there atonement? Those Israelites would listen closely. For what? They would listen for the bells on that border of the high priest. Because when he came out and he walked, they could hear the bells. And now imagine being an Israelite in that camp. Is there atonement? Is there atonement for me? I need atonement. And then they hear the bells. He's still alive. God is satisfied. There's atonement. But today, we don't have priests. We don't have a high priest. We don't have a tabernacle. We don't have sacrifices. We don't have goats. We don't have bullocks. We don't have a temple. We have a church. How? How? What's the way for atonement for us today? What's the way? Are you asking for a way? We read of one in Revelation 5. Open your Bible to Revelation chapter 5. We read there in that prophecy of one who was looking. The seal of that roll was sealed up. That's the execution of the salvation of the Almighty God. And we read in verse 2, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And now we read in verse 3, and no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. Is that your soul state? Is that your state? You can't find anyone. No man, not yourself. You're looking for one. And then we read, and I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open to read the book, neither to look thereon. And if that book stayed sealed, there would be no salvation. But then we read verse 5, and one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Why? Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And then verse 6, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. There's a lamb. The lamb has made atonement. A lamb, the high priest, the precious high priest, and all these things in the Old Testament, as we read in Hebrews 10, was only a shadow of the things to come. Hebrews 10, verse 1, they were all shadows of things to come. And the not the very image of the things can never make with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. The Israelites had to keep all the sacrifices, and year after year after year, they had to keep. keep the Day of Atonement until when? Until he came. A body thou hast given me. Why did he receive a body, children? Why did the Lord Jesus Christ come in the flesh? What did he say? So that he had a body, so that he could give his body to be a sacrifice. Why? Because it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. But he came. He is that great high priest. He's an only one. My friend, you need atonement. And the only one that can make atonement for you and who has made atonement is the high priest, the precious Savior, Jesus Christ. And so now I want to think of the high priest Aaron and make applications of the precious great high priest. And may the Lord bless his word. May it be food for souls, for hungry ones. The high priest was chosen. He was ordained, Aaron was. But Jesus Christ, he was chosen and ordained by God the Father to be that lamb on the Day of Atonement. There is a lamb, my friend, sinner, wretched sinner, there's nothing. There's a lamb. A lamb. And the high priest, he went alone. No other one could come with him. And yes, when we die alone. We saw that this week. Alone. You go that path alone. But the high priest, he had to go alone. He had to make atonement alone. No one else could go with him. And then we think of the Lord Jesus Christ in Gethsemane. He alone drank that cup. The disciples didn't take little sips. No, he alone. He drank it all. He drank it to the last drop. All the wrath of God came upon him and he drank it. That means he took it upon himself. He took it upon himself. What a precious high priest. What a great high priest. He took it upon himself willingly. He had a body. He wanted to have a body. He gave thanks to have a body. Why? So he could give it as a sacrifice to make atonement. All those rivers of blood of all those bulls, bullocks and goats that flowed in the Old Testament was insufficient. But he came as the great high priest. And Aaron, he had an animal. He had a bullock. He had a goat. He didn't have to give his own blood. That would have been insufficient. But Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, he gave his own blood. And may I say it this way, he sprinkled it on the mercy seat. He sprinkled on the mercy seat. And so that place is the place of atonement. God was satisfied. Satisfied there. And that's the only place, no other place ever that he could see and look upon this earth. No matter your prayers, your tears, your confession, your repentance, your zeal, no place, but one place. And that sacrifice of that precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The high priest went alone, and Jesus Christ went alone. All the disciples forsook him. He was alone. It was all placed on him. And that high priest had to follow exactly all the requirements and all the conditions. And Jesus Christ, as the head of the covenant of grace, as the great high priest and the Lamb of God at the same time, he had to fulfill all the requirements, all the conditions, or no atonement. Did he? Those Israelites could hear the bells. What a beautiful noise. Is there bells today for us? Yes. Yes. God the Father was satisfied. He rent the curtain. He rent that curtain in half. When that blood was poured out, may I say it, when that blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the great high priest, the Lamb of God, was sprinkled before him as incense. He was satisfied. It was sweet. He saw his son. He saw his sacrifice. And he gave it. He was satisfied. My friend, there's only one place that God is satisfied. It's never in anything of us. What painful lessons. But what such good lessons. We need to be led, stripped, emptied, made room for him and that precious high priest and that great cross and his sacrifice. But the Holy Spirit leads his people and they're brought nigh by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of the precious Savior, Jesus Christ. My friend, you need atonement. And he has made atonement. He has. Don't seek it anywhere else. And we're such fools, so full of pride, so full of wickedness and enmity. We don't even want to think about it. We don't even meditate. It's not food and after grace. We're like Christian. He says, there's the way. And we go to Mount Sinai. We need to be directed again to the gate, to the cross. And that blessed Holy Spirit dwells in that people. And he will. He will strip them. He will lead them. He will guide them. And they will come to the only place, to the place of the cross, to the place of atonement. And we read in Romans 5, verse 11, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Is there atonement? Yes. Read the precious word of God. God provided. God instituted. It all flows out of that heart of the fountain of the love of God the Father for absolute wretched sinners through the blood of his Son. And he applies it by the power of the Holy Spirit. And they not only sorrow for sin, but when they really come to that cross, when they're brought there and they see his sacrifice by the application of the Holy Spirit, what did Christian do, children? Read that book today. Ask your parents to open it up to show you. It's a beautiful illustration. What did Christian do? Oh, he was filled with joy. And my friend, that place in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you may see it, when you may taste something, there's joy. There's so much joy that nothing in this world can give you. You can give that people the whole world. You can tell them to live for 1,000,000 years. That doesn't give them joy. But when they see reconciliation through that blood with God the Father, and when they taste it, they want to taste it again. They want to taste it again because that's the place where there's peace, there's rest, the purpose of atonement. A few words. That ye may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. And that's what they long for. I'm a sinner before the Lord. I need atonement. I need my sins clean before the Lord. Not before man. Not before the consistory. Not before the minister. Not before my father. I need it before God. They need it before the Almighty God. And there it is. The purpose of the atonement is that they may be cleansed. That they may be clean before God. Before the Almighty. Washed in the blood of the Lamb, they can enter into that sweet communion forever with him, because he says, and there will I meet, and there will I have communion. But the mercy seat, you see it, is through him, through that blood sprinkled on that seat of atonement. Atonement. So the purpose of atonement, that God the Father can receive sinners. Not as servants, no. That prodigal son thought he could earn that way back and just be a servant. And it was such a wonder if I could just serve him a little. But he says, no, you're not going to be a servant. You're going to be a son. You're going to be my son. You're going to be my daughter. Atonement, the purpose is to receive sons back, to receive daughters back. Oh, to taste and feel those arms as the prodigal son felt and experienced of that embracing of the Father through the Son. Oh, what a wonder. That's the purpose. God and sinners reconciled. Sinners may enter through him and through him alone into the holies of holies, into heaven, into that infinite presence of the majestic glory of that most holy being who's too pure to look upon sin. Enter through the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. How is it? Can it be received? It's only by faith. By faith in him. By faith in his atonement. By faith in who he is as that prophet, priest, and king, as that mediator. It's by faith. And that's not faith they have of themselves. Faith that is given, planted. And that faith, when it's an exercise, they need the Holy Spirit to make it an exercise, that they would look away from self, that they would look upon him and believe his word, that in him there's atonement. They can't believe for one moment of themselves. Hopeless, helpless, powerless, unbelief of self. Is that you? They need everything from him. And through that atonement, those benefits flow to absolute unworthy sinners. Regeneration, repentance, faith, Justification, sanctification, and glorification is all in him through atonement. Through atonement. Through that blood of that high priest. That precious blood. Yes, that's precious, but we don't like to see blood, do you? I don't, because it speaks of life. But that blood, have you seen it? It's precious. It's beautiful. I want to see it again. I want to see it again. It's beautiful because it speaks of hope. It speaks of peace. It speaks of forgiveness. It speaks of being able to meet and have communion with the Holy God. And there I will meet thee. And I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims, which are upon the ark of the testimony. And so we come to the end. My friend, you need atonement. Are you just living for the world? My friend, if you die without atonement, you're lost. You're absolutely, eternally lost forever under the wrath of God. Trembling sinner, awakened. Where are you looking for it? Look at Aaron's two sons. What happened to them? They thought they could come with strange fire, and they died. What's the lesson? We cannot bring anything before the Lord that he would accept us, except for what he has provided through his dear son. All other strange fire, if we build upon that, we will eternally perish. We will meet a God of wrath, a consuming fire. But those poor, needy, wretched, guilty sinners that are brought, drawn nigh by the blood, and brought under that shadow of his wings, looking to him, longing for him to wash them, to cleanse them. And maybe they can't say, I'm washed, but they long for him to wash me because they know he's the only one that can make them clean and make an atonement. They will hear, blessed of my Father, enter, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. My friend, seek him, seek life in him. You need atonement. A church of God, dear sheep of the good shepherd, those of you who've been born again, who are repentant, have repented, who have faith yet tremble, and you've learned something of the prophet, learned something of the king, oh, may he become so beautiful as that priest, as that one to make atonement. Don't seek it in anything of your experiences. No, you don't need to throw them away. Don't seek it in any of your texts. No, you don't need to throw them away. But don't make that your foundation. There's only one foundation. That's Jesus Christ and him crucified. And through him, and through him alone, God says, and there I will meet with thee. And I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat. There it is. Through him, atonement. And through him, there is sweet communion for wretched sinners. Seek it all only in him and in his blood and in his sacrifice. Amen. Almighty, eternal, merciful and gracious Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, oh, be that one who applies thy precious word by the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, wilt thou awaken many of the need of atonement, lost, guilty, wretched, filthy, polluted before a holy and just God, that with all they have, that they see it's insufficient, and that they need that blood of reconciliation, that blood that made atonement. Oh, wilt thou renew and teach and lead and guide to that only place? Oh, may thy dear people grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ for the glory of the name and for thy eternal glory and for their comfort, Lord. Lord, may we acknowledge thee for thy precious word that can make us wise unto that only way of salvation. And may we acknowledge thee for thy help. Without thee, we can do nothing. We cannot listen and we cannot preach. Completely dependent upon thee. Help the elders in the teaching of the catechism. Make it a blessing. Make them a blessing. And may they taste something of what they may speak about and that they may speak out of their hearts. Bring us again here, if it is in thy will, tonight to again listen to thy precious word. Lord, forgive us of all our many sins. Keep us on the roads. And may we ask thee in the name of thy precious Son, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us sing now in closing from Psalter 217. 217, four stanzas. Remember not, O God, the sins of long ago, and tender mercy visit us, distressed and humbled low. 217, all four stanzas.
Yeah.
dear congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.